Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Mothers Podcast, episode 261. Today we are reading chapter 31 of the novel, I Need Someone to Pray With Me, by Daniel White III with his wife, Marika White. Friday's dinner date found Quentin and Aubrey at a quaint Arab restaurant about 40 minutes drive out of town. It's a little out of the way, but I figured this would be appropriate as I share part two of my family history with you, Quentin said. The 40-minute drive seemed like 5 minutes to Aubrey as they took their seats in the restaurant. Quentin exchanged a few words with the waiter in Arabic. And what did you just say? Aubrey asked. Oh, he's a friend of my father's. Whenever I come by, he asks, when will my father visit again? Quentin replied. I know enough Arabic to survive. My grandfather insisted on my sister and me learning Arabic. He would only speak to us in Arabic whenever we were around him. That forced us to learn the language. Looking over the menu, he asked, have you ever eaten lamb? No, Aubrey said, trying to make sense of the menu. Well, give me the onion then. I'll order as my favorite, shawarma, which is sliced lamb with rice, an order of kimaje, which is flat bread and some vegetables. Sounds good, Aubrey said. After the waiter brought their meal, Aubrey said, Quentin, you mentioned on your drive over here that when it comes to prayer, I may be considered the weaker vessel. Quentin laughed. I see you have not forgotten. How can I when you left me thinking my prayer life will be weak because I'm a female? My mother's a strong praying woman. You told me your mother was a strong praying woman. Pastor Ashton's wife is a strong praying woman. Simone, Kelly, and Jennifer are becoming strong praying women as well. How can you justify your statement? Please forgive me. It was not my intent to cause you to think that your prayer life would be weak. I have come across some women who have a stronger prayer life than some men. They knew how to get a hold of God. Allow me to clarify my statement. If a woman does not allow her feelings to get in the way of her faith in God, and thus her prayer life, then she can become a strong force for God in the area of prayer. If, however, she allows her feelings and her emotions to take control of her life, then she will not pray effectively. Aubrey nodded as she could recall the countless times she allowed her emotions to get in the way of spending quality time with God in prayer. As you already know, it is through prayer that we communicate with God, Quentin continued. It is through prayer that we tell God what we need and share with him our dreams and aspirations, our troubles and worries. It is through prayer that we secure the Holy Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit is a comforter Jesus promised he would send to us after his return to heaven. In John chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So when you pray, you are asking the Holy Spirit to come and help you, not only to pray, but to help you in whatever you are praying about. Now, since prayer is our only means of communication with God, if you were the devil, what would you do to a Christian woman when she gets ready to pray? I would mess with her emotions as soon as she gets ready to pray, Aubrey quickly answered. In fact, I'd mess up her thinking before she even begins to pray. Quentin laughed. Correct. That is why you don't feel like praying. Your mind wanders. You pray quick, short prayers. You doubt God will hear your prayers, let alone answer your prayers. And even after praying, you still worry and fret and try to do things on your own. Aubrey smiled. I can definitely identify with you just with what you just said. I don't know how many times I call myself trying to help God out. I don't even want to guess at how many of us try to answer our own prayers, including myself, Quentin said. Now let's eat before food gets cold. But before we do, let's ask the Lord to bless this meal. After Quentin finished praying, Aubrey eagerly scooped up a forkful of her meat. This is delicious, she said, after swallowing her first mouthful. Thank you so much for this meal. You're more than welcome, Quentin said in a few forkfuls before continuing his discussion of prayer. That's the spiritual battle we all go through. The Christian and the devil are constantly struggling against each other. The Christian wants to pray and attempts to pray, but that old devil or enemy throws everything in his way to discourage him from praying. That's why the Apostle Paul tells us to pray without ceasing. If we obeyed that commandment, I'm sure we would get some prayers answered. I've tried to pray without ceasing, but that never seems to work out for me, Aubrey said. I believe it means to always be in a spirit of prayer, Quinton said. I'm sure you have had the experience of a quiet voice reminding you to pray, even when you're doing something else like driving down the road. Yes, I've experienced that voice telling me to pray, but I must admit I tend to ignore it, Aubrey confessed. Many people do. I've learned not to ignore it. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you to pray. I've learned to listen to His promptings and to pray as it prepares me to face an angry client or graciously accept bad news or to control myself when around a beautiful woman like you, Quinton said. Aubrey pretended to ignore his last words, even though it caused a warmness to flow through her. You know, as I think about it, if I'd listened to that quiet voice, I could have dealt with some negative issues in my life in a more sensible way, Aubrey said. As I said earlier, prayer is spiritual warfare. Are you still listening? Quinton asked, placing a hand on her hand to get her full attention. Forgive me, something crossed my mind. Something that I have, Quinton said. Aubrey nodded and smiled. Prayer is spiritual warfare, Quinton continued. The unseen forces of the devil will do anything to prevent you from praying or to prevent you from learning about praying. But the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will teach you all things and will open your understanding to biblical truths. I see, Aubrey said. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the whole armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, Aubrey said, some of the things that have taken place in my life, I can't even begin to offer human explanations for them. I can only say that those negative situations were certainly influenced by the devil. You hit it right on the head. Many Christians do not believe the devil is real. They do not believe there's an unseen force working against them, and so they turn against each other and blame each other. I certainly believe that the devil exists now, and I thank you for taking the time to help me have a better understanding of how prayer works, Aubrey said. You're more than welcome, Quinton replied. Always remember, the devil is powerful, but we have a God who is more powerful than him. God has already given us a victory over the devil through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. I can say amen to that, Aubrey said. I see you're almost finished with your meal. How did you like it? Everything was delicious, Aubrey said. I hope you're not in a hurry. I'd love to talk with you some more. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give Him the pen by trusting Him with the life He gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how.
1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that He wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner, and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.